independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez was discovered by a corrections officer hanged in his cell early this morning. Life-saving techniques were attempted before he was transported to a hospital where he was pronounced dead of an apparent suicide. The 27-year-old Hernandez was in a single cell where he attempted to block the door from the inside. Massachusetts State Police are investigating the incident.
Horrible incident. Horrible incident across the board. Everything about this is tragic. How he was brought up in life, how he was able to take the enormous talent that he had to a place like Florida, where he won a national championship, where he stood side by side with the likes of Tebow and many others, where he was an outstanding football player who had deep, dark issues in his life and the way that he grew up, and how he took that to the NFL, and he could never get away from those issues, and he turned that anger into evil. Did he not escape? Is this what he wanted in life? Killed himself today, allegedly. Unsubstantiated reports are as they found him hung in a cell that he had barricaded so people couldn't get in, and he had cut his finger and wrote John 3:16 on his head and may have smoked, producer Phil said before, the spice or the synthetic marijuana. This guy was complex. He was everything that he needed to be at the moment in time that he was with each and every individual. He was able to put things in boxes, decompartmentalize certain situations, and that was never more evident than when he was with in the Bristol County Jail with Sheriff Thomas Hodgson.
After he was arrested in the murder of Odin Lloyd in 2013, Aaron Hernandez was here in North Dartmouth for about a year at the Bristol County House of Correction. Sheriff Tom Hodgson says, for the most part, Hernandez did not have many problems, once, however, getting in a fight with another inmate. A magnetic personality that the sheriff described as the best he's ever seen at compartmentalizing and manipulating people. A charmer who at times used his intelligence and savvy to try to win over the guards.
Sociopath? Probably. Defense mechanisms? Absolutely. You grow up in a world where there is violence, and you grow up in a world where you are also violent because you need to be and because you can be. Because you are almost 6'3", you are 250 pounds. You see a lot of bad things, therefore you do a lot of bad things. Personal responsibility needs to be taken. A lot of people grow up in very bad situations and they don't end up like him. Life's about opportunities. He had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to do what most people don't get an opportunity to do in their situation. Most people, where he comes from and many situations across a lot of society, never get the chance to get out, never get the chance to get away, never get the chance to play professional football, never get the chance to go to a college where you pay nothing, where you're treated like a god, where people flock to you, never get the chance to do what he did, never get the chance at having $1 million home, never get a chance at any of those things. He pissed that all away. Were there circumstances in life that caused him to be this way? Absolutely. Doesn't mean you take those things. It's about personal responsibility. All of us have been in bad situations. Some of us have been in horrific situations. And some of us have been in situations where you're thinking, how does anybody survive this? That's what happens. Right? What happens in situations like this is sometimes people get out. Another tragic tale, a tale that is all too often a very American tale of a kid getting out of a situation, putting himself into a situation where he betters himself, but not leaving behind the anchor of the hood, of the streets, of his friends, and continuing to take that persona that got him through all of this with him, with the power, the fame, and the money that he has, he just becomes a bigger gangster, a-hole, whatever you want to call it.
It was a bit of a shocker for me. I've always known Aaron Hernandez to be somebody who was in complete control, made sure that whatever he didn't want to entertain, he was very good at keeping it out. He had a metal trap for a mind when it came to those types of things. Perhaps the thing that maybe contributed to the outcome today was maybe the verdict that came down from the jury. That it was something that perhaps he didn't expect, that there were people who had actually found him not guilty of something he was accused of. Maybe he believed he did or didn't do. Who knows?
Nobody will know. Got a young daughter? Nobody will know. What a lot of people are saying is, yeah, you know what? This isn't Aaron. Aaron wouldn't do something like this. Aaron, this is not who Aaron is. And there was no signs of it. The people that spoke to him. But people inside of the prison said, look, essentially isolation, very depressed, falling into a deeper, deeper depression. Not really. I mean, the desperation. Understand, when he came into the NFL, he was only like 19 years old, 20 years old. He's the youngest man to make the roster in the NFL at the time. Kid was like, he was still 19, 20 years old. Think about that. Playing a grown-ass man's game in a 19-year-old mind. And along the way, he pissed it all away. I don't feel sorry for him, but there's a tragic tale that will not go away. It will happen again. There's a guy right now in college football that is on the path to something like this. There's a guy that's going to be on the path in 3 or 4 years. There's a guy that's going to be on the path in 5 or 10 years because this is the path. Why is this the path? How do we get there? What is it about these people? These people that are human beings like us, these people that, for all intents and purposes, do everything in their power to do the right thing, to put themselves into a position to get their ass out of a bad situation, and they can't seem to handle it. It's a horrible situation. It's one that makes you scratch your head. His daughter, his family and friends, the victim, Odin Lloyd, who he was accused of killing and eventually convicted of, and these two victims last week, he was exonerated. He was acquitted. But the thought process of knowing that you're in your mid to late 20s and going to be in jail for the rest of your life, you're not going anywhere, you're not getting out, you're not going to see that you're in there forever. You've pissed away a $20 million contract. Gone. You pissed away endorsements. You're seeing that your old team just won the Super Bowl twice in the last, 3 years. And all of a sudden, the realization that your big bad gangster self is going to be stuck in there all because you made horrifically poor choices. And yet you worked your entire life to get out of that. Because there's this machismo to be bigger and stronger and still be that badass on the streets. A horrible, horrible situation across the board from a guy who did everything possible to get away from it all. And too often than not, we hear about it, right? We hear about people who spend their entire childhood getting beat, getting attacked, getting all of these things happening. And all the while as they fight and they do all of these things, they eventually slowly but surely pull themselves out of it. And then they get sucked back in because they allow themselves to, because it's a drug to them. They can't get away from a lifestyle. Some of them walk away with no big deal. Snap. I never want anything to do with that again. For others, you don't know. A tragic tale, and often too tragic tale, especially in a sport like football, where you have this happening over and over again, and it's going to continue to happen over and over again. And no matter what any NFL team does, no matter what any outside help that comes in to help the NFL does, there are certain people that no matter what opportunity you give them, they're going to piss it away. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Love hearing from you. We got so much stuff to get to today. We got more about North Korea. We're going to touch about what happened last night in Georgia. Will there be a runoff? Won't there be a runoff? Was this a early peek at what may potentially be trouble for the Republicans. Also, social media. How bad is the addiction for kids and people to social media? Where do you hear this new study? You can text the show. You can also call us, 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Plus, O'Reilly out. Finally, the cost of doing business was too high for Fox. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Kid tested. Mother approved.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. It. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly.
I don't sound like that when I screw up. We just laugh at me, and we move on with our lives. Some people are a little bit more high-strung than that. And sexually repressed, apparently. That right there, Bill O'Reilly, no longer employed at the world of Fox. We were talking earlier about that. By the sounds of it, he was not thrilled about vacating his spot. But when if the advertisers stick by you, and we look, let's be real. There are too many times where advertisers will jump ship too quick when they don't need to. They leave really fast and they don't need to. There's no reason to bounce and because somebody gets mad or assumes something. This is wholly different. This was a pattern of behavior by the sounds of it and by the settlement of it that had haunted these guys on numerous occasions, and it came back to bite them. Are we uber sensitive in the world of microaggressions and you know, some people stepping over the line? Yes. Saying somebody has nice shoes or whatever. Really, if that hurts your feeling, I don't know if it's worth $1 million. But in this day and age, apparently it is. I tweeted out earlier, Bill O'Reilly, for the settlements they're giving out, he could have grabbed my ass. I don't care. But he's gone. And it has nothing to do with ratings, because his ratings were strong, still the biggest. But I tell you what, Fox now, over the last 6 months, everything has changed. Murdoch handed over to his sons the empire, if you will, of Fox, and they're lost Megyn Kelly, and they have now lost, and he did it to himself. Again, personal responsibility. He's gone, and now what are they going to do? You know, I saw today they're moving Tucker Carlson to his spot. They're going to move the Five somewhere and all these kind of things. Not that I watch any of this crap, but it really does change a lot of things at Fox. And being the dominant, and it has been dominant for so long, being the dominant one in the cable news world, I think what you're going to find out is that domination is going to be coming to a slow and quick end. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. I'm interested to see where he lands on his feet. I don't think we've heard the last of Bill O'Reilly. In fact, Bill O'Reilly, I think, will go away for 6 months. They've worked out a buyout with him. Who knows how long it'll going to be? You know, 6 months, 5 months, a year. He's going to pop up somewhere else, and CNN or MSNBC or somebody's going to take a run at him because they realize that he's going to bring with him a large audience. Don Imus, 6 months afterwards, somebody took a run at him. We have short memories when it comes to a lot of this stuff. And when you have somebody that repeatedly brings in $200 million, you're worth that. That's worth running at. Because they also know that people have short memories, but so do advertisers. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, one of our favorite times of the day, a little urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Urban word of the day for all you people out there who have a few beverages every once in a grandiose while. You will reach for a beverage that no longer exists and is no longer there. You maybe even forgot you had one or didn't have one. We like to call this the ghost beer.
The ghost beer. I was haunted by the ghost beer.
Let's use it in a little playful sentence. Raymond, what are you reaching for? My beer. You don't have a beer. Oh, man, it's my ghost beer. Your ghost beer. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
When you look at the total Republican vote, it was over that. This is a district that was very close on the presidential level. The Democrats went all in on this. They were clear going into this election. They said that their goal was to get over 50%. They came up short. If needed, I think the president's going to make sure that he does everything he can to maintain majorities and further the party, but we'll see if we're needed.
Well, last night, big runoff. Again, a runoff that is micro important to the district, 6th District in Georgia. Macro, could it change some things? If somebody got over 50%, there was no runoff, that person would have the seat. Seat vacated by Tom Price, who ended up becoming the Health and Human Services Secretary, who left his position to go work for the president. Seat once held by Newt Gingrich. Very conservative area, I would say yes, even though it's becoming, because of demographics, a little bit more liberal. In saying that, this was a big test. You know, Kansas last week, last night, they really thought they had a chance. They flooded money in, but he, John Ossoff, could not get over that 50-point threshold. And now he faces a runoff in June. And the difference is between him and a lady who got about 20 points, when you take away the other 16, it's a dead heat. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But the Democrats are looking for a victory, and they've yet to get it. 90 days in, they're still looking for some sort of victory when it comes to this president. The Democrats have seen the Republicans fail, but they've done nothing as far as stopping the president. The only thing that stopped the president and the Republicans so far has been Republicans. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. North Korea, social media, Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We will defeat any attack and meet any use of conventional or nuclear weapons with an overwhelming and effective American response. The United States of America will always seek peace, but under President Trump, the shield stands guard and the sword stands ready.
Ooh, God. Was that Sun Tzu? No. Are you sure it wasn't Sun Tzu? No, it's not Sun Tzu. That was Mike Pence. People are going, who in God's name is Sun Tzu? Read a book. Art of War. Tactician. Pretty much every general, every leader in the world of military has read Sun Tzu. That's who Sun Tzu is. So I'm just throwing it out there. If you don't know who Sun Tzu is. It's a great book called... It's about Sun Tzu and how you trade the commodities and stock market using Sun Tzu's methodology, kind of the art of war, the art of trading. Very interesting. That talking about what's going on currently in the North Korean peninsula, and I think the way Trump is handling this is right. There's a lot of things here. It is not a one-size-fit-all plan. When it comes to dealing with North Korea, we have tried a method that has not worked over the last two decades, which is scold them with UN sanctions and then kind of ignore them, hoping they'll go away. Scold them more with UN sanctions and hoping more and more. Let me tell you something. The meeting with China and their leader, Xi Jinping, was huge. There's a few things that are going to have to happen. But the Chinese are terrified that this cat's going to lead them into a nuclear war. The Chinese are terrified that this guy is going to do something that's going to cause the rest of the world to get ready and fire their nukes, which they know they'll have to come to the aid of him, most likely, and in doing so. Now, China has showed on more than a few occasions over the last couple of weeks that they're changing their tune. First, subtly, they did what? They canceled the flights from Beijing to Pyongyang. Secondly, and this is big, they abstained from a couple of UN votes when it came to North Korea, which normally doesn't happen, and it only takes one vote. Here's something else they've done. They're ratcheting up a bit of their army as an in-case. They're putting op-eds inside of their papers about him and how he needs to go. We're going to have to give in a little bit when it comes to trade. We're going to have to give in a lot of bit when it comes to trade, but it's a trade-off of getting a madman out of here or allowing him to continue to do what he's doing to the rest of the world. And in doing so, we may give some here, but we'll have to make it back with some of the other countries that we trade with. And there's one other thing, and this is something that's not being talked about, but should be talked about. The Paris Accords, the climate accords. It's big. It's climate change. It's the UN. It's this craziness. It's all of these things that are out there that this president has vowed to get away from, that wants no part of, that can't wait to get away from these things because these things are horrible. China got into them because we really pressured them to. And for us to walk away at this moment, at this time, would not be good. That's why the meeting and the decision was canceled, because they know that we're going to have to stay in them most likely, and we're going to have to spin it in a much different way. But this is give and take. So for all of you out there who don't understand this, you want here is what making deals look like. And I think this is the thing with politicians that they don't get. And with people who follow politicians, who get deep in the weeds of the minutiae of stuff. When there's negotiations, you don't always get everything you want. Sometimes you dangle something you have over somebody else's head because they want it, but you're going to get something back. Too often than not now, what we have is all or none when it comes to politics. This is what deals look like. Deals look like this. I know I said I was going to get this done, but I'm not going to be able to keep my word on that. But remember when I said I was going to do this? It's getting did. Oh. We've gotten to the point now where everything is about getting everything for yourself and zero give in. And you cannot do that. That does not work for anybody ever. That is sickness. If you say, I want everything, and if I don't get it, I'm not going to continue to do what I'm doing, that is absolute crap. Give and take looks like this, people. We're going to get something, and I have a feeling it's going to be the, how should I say this? The leaving or the disappearing or the replacing of an insane, crazy lunatic with a bad haircut for a much more stable Korean Peninsula, which means a much more stable world. I will give a little bit on trade for that, wouldn't you? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at Chad Benson Show. You can email us. You can also check us out at Chad Benson Show. Love it when you do that. Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. How bad is it, really? Well, they're starting to look at how bad it potentially could be. And guess what, kids? It's not good. It's not good at all. But here's the problem. This is the problem with with these kind of scenarios. When we talk about people who are addicted to social media, who are addicted to media in and itself, all media, all forms of media. We live in a world of electronics. We live in a world of technology. We live in a world where it's vital that you know these things, because if you don't, you can't compete and you can't work. People, most of the time, people who are addicted to drugs, it's a choice they make. Technology is a little bit different, because unless you're going to live in the woods, right, be a woodsman, stay off the grid, you're probably going to have to come in contact with, with technology. And I was explaining to somebody the other day about this, and like, well, you know, it's becoming an addiction. I'm like, it is becoming an addiction, but I don't think it's, I understand the addiction side of things. I do. I understand the addiction side of things because I was around it my whole life. I get the addiction side of things. I do. But this is also side of things, right? You don't need to take heroin, right, to do your job. You don't need to take coke to do your job. You don't need to take meth, unless you're a trucker, to do your job. Oh, Chad, you said trucker. But 99.9% of us need to have some form of technology to do our job. But I understand the fear factor of it. Now therapists are saying, this thing, because of the way that our brains are wired, is so addictive that it may even have a bigger pull than alcohol, than drugs. And sessions are running deep for a lot of people now to try to break people of these addictions. I don't know. I mean, again, some are saying an hour-long session costs $150. Detox camping style retreats costing more, $500 a day for several days. And it's a tough thing, right? It's a tough way to deal with something that, for all intents and purposes, is something that each and every one of us are going to have to use lifetime to function in the world that we live in. It's not easy. I mean, I find myself, I don't know how many of my friends, I was over at my buddy's house a couple weeks ago. This is what's crazy. His daughter's there. She's playing on her phone. He's on his iPad. The TV's on. And his wife is on her tablet. I think most of you sitting here are like that. How many times do you go to dinner at night with your family and friends, and you look over, and three or four people out of the five or six are on their tablets, and maybe even the parents? That's the other thing. But the necessity is this is the world that we live in now, and you're going to have to understand that this is technology. And I think where we jump also too often than not to say, the addiction, again, I've said the biggest thing to me about the addiction is the gaming side of things, where you become addicted to one singular side of things. You play games all day. You gamble all day. Whatever it is that you do it all day, singular-minded on that. If you do tweet and you check your Facebook and you're doing work, this, that, and the other, and technology is a part of it, that's not an addiction. That's just being a human being at this point in time. And that's also something that we have to understand. What's the normalcy now that technology is this part of our, as much a part of our life as it is? But when you have somebody who'll play 20 straight hours of video game and not get off, not shower, that to me is where the addiction comes from. And I think that's the fine line we walk. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Love getting text messages from you, 323-538-2423. Go to at Chad Benson, which is our wonderful Twitter site, and you can friend us on Facebook. Please do go like the page with a thumb up, Chad Benson Show. Simple as that. This is the Chad Benson Show.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 sucks and 10 rocks, welcome to Talk Radio's 11. It's the Chad Benson Show.
These go to 11.
You know what I love about Berkeley and college is the diversity in college. The diversity is so amazing. You go to a place like Berkeley, you will find all kinds of diversity. The box that you can check off there is amazing. Pansexual, gender fluidity, liberal, progressive, black, African-American, Hispanic, Latino, Asian. Oh, my goodness. Transgender. Transgender, re-transgendering. It is amazing. You know what you can't find there? Diversity that really matters, which is in your mind. Ann Coulter, sorry. We know we had you scheduled, but we're not going to do it because security concerns. And so we're going to have to rescind our invitation. And just like with Milo, we don't want something bad to happen. And I understand to a certain extent that you have to watch out for the kids. You have to watch out for your, you know, your property and all of those things. But it just goes to show you diversity. And I say it all the time. And I drill this into your head. If you don't get anything out of the show other than I'm funny, that's all that matters. But if you're going to get two things out of the show, let it be the diversity is not the color of your skin. It's not your religion. It's not your sexuality. It's not what you identify as. It is truly the thing inside of your head, your mind. That's it. Period. Case closed. She says she will speak. It is her constitutional right. Where she's going to speak, I don't know. Go ahead, speak. Nobody's saying you can't speak. But where are you going to speak at? But it shows you. So when anybody says, I'm diverse, don't ask them how many black friends do you have? How many quotas do you have that you've met? Ask them, how many people do you know that have a differing view from you when it comes to politics, religion, or this, that, and the other? How many people are your friends or that you really know? You know, how many people say, well, not really. And that goes for a lot of people on the right, too. It's not just the people on the left. It's more so on the left. But it goes for everybody. It does. It goes for each and every one of you.
Tonight, you'll witness the first championship ring ever presented to Chicago Cubs players.
I'm about to go on the field at Wrigley's with the World Championship Chicago Cubs to give them the World Series ring. It does not get better than this.
It's the exclamation point on the most amazing Cubs season ever.
It's going to be awesome.
Cubs, I don't like what you're doing. It's not cool. You're going to give out 1,908 rings and pendants to people who work within the organization. But there is a caveat to this. Each and everybody must sign a pledge that you will not sell your ring and or your pendant. Even if you're desperate and you need money, well, you can sell it. But it's to the Cubs and it's only for a dollar. I don't like it. Don't give somebody something with stipulations. All right? You're making 10 bucks an hour and you're slanging beer and peanuts and hot dogs and you've been with the Cubs for a long time and they reward you with something and you have a chance to maybe sell it, make $5,000 or $6,000 off of it and help your daughter out, help your whatever it is that you need to do, let them do it. It's not like everybody's going to go do it. And look, you can put that stipulation, I think, on middle management that works within the organization as far as the actual club itself. But for some of the other people in the organization, take that away. And I know they said, well, you know, they do it for the Heisman Trophy and they do it for the Oscars. Shut up. Again, if you win a Heisman Trophy, you're probably going to be all right. You win an Oscar, you're going to be all right. If you're a person who's, slanging peanuts and you have a chance because they rewarded you with that, it may be something that you love, but the opportunity to help your family or you if you have that chance, that may be something, right? Oh, and the other stipulation is if you give it to somebody, so your dad passes away and he passes it off to you, you cannot allow your child or your friend or whoever who gets it to sell it either. They have to agree to the stipulation to sell it back to them. I find that to be stupid. The most importante meal of the day is breakfast. That's what we've always been told, and that may be true. But there, too, is a caveat.
Bananas are a breakfast staple, but one U.S. nutritionist says you shouldn't be eating them alone at breakfast. This fruit favorite is praised for its potassium, fiber, and magnesium levels. However, 25% of the calories in a banana come from natural sugar. Also, while you might get an energy rush as you run out the door, you'll probably crash by the time your 10 o'clock meeting rolls around. If you're going bananas at the thought of ditching your number one breakfast choice, don't stress. To avoid a spike in your blood sugar levels, just pair the fruit with foods containing healthy fats, like yogurt, porridge, or peanut butter.
Not eating porridge because, again, I'm not a bear. And it's silly to think that you would want to eat porridge. Chat, but maybe you are a bear. I'm not a bear. I'm not a bear. I'm never going to be a bear. Where I live, there's plenty of bears. Different kind of bears, but there's plenty of bears. Oh, Chad, is that something about the gay community? It's funny. I'm unbearable. You're right. I am. It talks about eating like things like salmon and avocados. And what it doesn't talk about is truly the most important meal you will have every single day, which is a donut. Donuts are, you know, they're really the blessings of the Lord. And that was the last page that God's like, I don't want to put this in the Bible because I don't want everybody to know how amazing donuts are. This is the one I'm going to keep for myself. That's right. The 11th commandment. Enjoy a donut. Solid fun hour. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text 9 program. 323-538-2423. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.